Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. You know, in the recent episodes, we have been examining the life of Elijah, and that came out of what we saw in James, in the fifth chapter, where James used Elijah as an example of someone who had prayed, and someone who had prayed fervently, and God did great things through. And then he described James as being a man like us. And the Lord spoke through Elijah. Well, in the last episode, we saw where Elijah was caught up, and Elisha received his mantle. Before we move on from Elijah to another subject matter, I thought we'd check a couple of the cross references. The passages we were reading are out of 1 and 2 Kings, and quite often 1 and 2 Chronicles will have accounts of the same events, but will have different details, a lot like you see in the Gospels. Well, we find this in 2 Chronicles chapter 21. And I want to read the entire chapter because we need to hear, it's a short chapter, we need to hear what the context is, because Elijah does something here. You know, when we hear of a prophet, we think of them calling, like Elijah did, calling down fire from heaven and all this kind of thing. And it's absolutely true. God will do this. But sometimes he uses the simplicity of a letter. Elijah wrote a letter to the king, So watch this. 2 Chronicles 21, verse 1. Then Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Jehoram, his son, became king in his place. Now, so this is the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah. Verse 2. Now, Jehoram had brothers, the sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah, Jehiel, Zechariah, Azariah, Michael, and Shephatiah. All these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. Their father gave them many gifts of silver, gold, and precious things, with fortified cities in Judah. But he gave the kingdom to Jehoram because he was the firstborn. Now, when Jehoram had taken over the kingdom of his father and made himself secure, in other words, he took over the kingdom and made him strong in his position, he killed all his brothers with the sword and some of the rulers of Israel also. Well, isn't that nice? So he comes along. His father makes him king because he's firstborn, but he doesn't want to be threatened by anybody else. So once he's secure, he kills everybody. Verse 5, Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. He walked in the way of the kings of Israel, just as the house of Ahab did, for Ahab's daughter was his wife, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. So he's the king of Judah, he's the king of the south, but he walked in the way of the king of the north, the kings of Israel. And remember what I told you, that there was no good kings in the northern kingdom. He had actually married Ahab's daughter. So this would have been Ahab and Jezebel's daughter. And you think the wife helped lead him astray? Well, there's no doubt. Verse 7, yet the Lord was not willing to destroy the house of David because of the covenant which he had made with David, and since he had promised to give a lamp to him and his sons forever. So the Lord was honoring his covenant that he'd made with David, that there would be a lamp, that there would be a son forever, even though this one right here was really doing evil things. Now, verse 8, in his days, Edom revolted, and this is King Jehoram, revolted against the rule of Judah and set up a king over themselves. Then Jehoram crossed over with his commanders and all his chariots with him, and he arose by night and struck down the Edomites who were surrounding him and the commanders of the chariots. So Edom revolted against Judah to this day. Then Libna revolted at the same time against Israel because he had forsaken the Lord God of his father. So he's got people and individuals that are revolting against him because he's forsaken the Lord God. Verse 11. Moreover, he made high places in the mountains of Judah and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to play the harlot and led Judah astray. So he's leading them into false worship. He's leading them into worshiping gods that are not the Most High God. Now, verse 12, the letter. Then a letter came to him from Elijah the prophet, saying, thus says the Lord God of your father David, because you have not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat your father and the ways of Asa king of Judah, but have walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and have caused Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to play the harlot, as the house of Ahab played the harlot. And you have also killed your brothers and your own family, who were better than you. Behold, the Lord is going to strike your people, your sons, your wives, and all your possessions with great calamity, and you will suffer sickness, a disease of your bowels, until your bowels come out because of the sickness, day by day. Well, you can imagine the reaction when he got that letter. Woo! So verse 16, but he didn't repent. How do we know? Watch what happens. Then the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and the Arabs who bordered the Ethiopians. So the Lord was now bringing enemies against Jehoram. And they came against Judah and invaded it and carried away all the possessions found in the king's house together with his sons and his wives, so that no son was left to him except Jehoahaz, the youngest of his sons. So the Lord left one son right there to carry along the lineage, right? But he's bringing judgment exactly like he said he would through the letter that the prophet Elijah had written. So his possessions are gone, his sons are gone, his wives are gone. Now listen to this. Verse 18. So after all this, the Lord smote him in his bowels with an incurable sickness. Now it came about in the course of time, at the end of 2 years, that his bowels came out because of his sickness, and he died in great pain. And his people made no fire for him like the fire of his fathers. So the word of the Lord came true. And it took 2 years after everything else had happened that he was struck with his sickness. And he was in tremendous great pain. And he finally died when his bowels actually came out of his body. Now, I don't know what the medical condition is that causes that. But yeah, it says here that he died in great pain, to which I would say, you reckon? Imagine so. You see the reaction of the people. The people made no fire for him like the fire for his father. They did not celebrate him in any way. The last verse gives us more details. He was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years, and he departed with no one's regret. And they buried him in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. So they went ahead and buried him in the city of David. They didn't bury him out in the wilderness. They honored him in that way, but they didn't put him in the tomb of the kings. And they did not have a life celebration for him because of what he had done. Just look at the amount of evil that had happened in his brief reign. He just reigned 8 years. The last 2 years, he was dying with this sickness. He had strengthened himself. His father put him on the throne. Then he kills off his entire family. And the Lord was highly displeased. And he sent his word through his prophet by a letter. Why by a letter, not by appearance? I don't know. I just assume that God told him to send a letter. It would have been a lot safer to send the letter than to appear before this king, right? Anyway, Elijah, a man like us who spoke the truth of the Word of God, who lived the truth of the Word of God. May we do likewise. Again, I'm Dale. I'll see y'all next time.